The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Dialectics. What the heck is that? A lot of confusing ink has been spilled about this strange word, dialectics. People may have only a vague idea, if any, what it is. Something to do with an old German philosopher named Hegel. Something to do with contradictions. But the question is of considerable importance. For the question of dialectics is about method, about how we go about looking at the world, how it works, and how it changes, and ultimately, how we can consciously transform it. To put it most plainly, wrote Engels, dialectics is nothing more than the science of the general laws of motion and the development of nature, human society, and thought. That is, it is the form of thinking about the world which best corresponds to the way which the processes of natural and social evolution work. The ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus is the first recorded thinker who stressed a dialectical view of the world. For Heraclitus, nothing was fixed, fast, or frozen. Everything flows, he wrote. Strife is the father of all things. The fairest harmony is born of things different, and discord is what produces all things. These are key concepts of the dialectic. Constant change and movement is the natural order of things, and change comes about through the conflict of contradictory forces, i.e., strife. The Marxist dialectic did come by way of a German philosopher by the name of George Friedrich Hegel, who wrote his greatest works in the early part of the 1800s. His philosophy is extremely difficult to read, and though the young Marx, in a letter to his father in 1837, called Hegel's philosophy a grotesque, craggy melody, Marx was won over and became a disciple for a few years. Hegel's ideas were a major breakthrough in philosophical thought. He developed his philosophy in the shadow of the French Revolution, and in many ways his philosophy of dialectics was an ideal expression of the spirit of that age, a period of almost unceasing conflict and change, of the death of old feudal relations and the birth of the new. At the heart of Hegel's dialectic was the idea that history was a process of the unfolding of the absolute idea. Ideas and concepts were not static things, Hegel argued, but moved through contradiction in a continual process of development. To his dialectical approach to ideas, Hegel counterposed what he called the metaphysical approach, held that things were to be viewed as separate, static, without any contradiction. A is always A, B is always B, and A can never become B. But Hegel didn't just reject metaphysical thought. He argued that it had a value within limits, but it stopped working as an approach once you start to analyze things in their movement and transformation. The following quote will give you an idea of Hegel's approach. Here, he's talking about the unfolding of philosophical ideas, but he uses an analogy from nature to make his point. Quote, "The bud disappears in the bursting forth of the blossom, and one might say that the former is refuted by the latter. Similarly, when the fruit appears, the blossom is shown up in its turn as a false manifestation of the plant, and the fruit now emerges as the truth of it instead." These forms are not just distinguished from one another. They also supplant one another as mutually incompatible. Yet at the same time, their fluid nature makes them moments of organic unity, in which they not only do not conflict, but in which each is as necessary as the other. And this mutual necessity alone constitutes the life of the whole. End quote. You could take the analogy even further back and say that the seed and the plant it can become seem to bear no resemblance. The seed goes through a series of stages of growth in which its old form is destroyed, and a new form takes place. Yet through all its forms, it is still the same plant. Things can only be fully grasped not as separate, static identities, but as conflicting or contradictory elements of a unity or whole, a process involving birth, life, decay, and death. The contradictory elements combine in an appearance of fixity or stability, but those very same conflicting elements produce movement or development. In the process of this development, new forms burst forth and negate or supersede previous forms, yet are clearly also dependent for their development on those previous forms. That is the main idea of dialectics. A dialectical approach sees change not simply as a series of quantitative changes that leaves the essence of the thing intact, but argues that quantitative changes can give way to qualitative leaps. The acorn transforms itself into an oak. A fertilized animal egg becomes a full-grown dog. Yet the egg was not a little tiny microscopic dog that grew slowly to a big dog. An element, water for example, at different temperature points turns from a solid to a liquid, and from a liquid into a gas, and so on. Finally, dialectics views fundamental change emerging from the fact that movement comes through contradictory forces acting against each other, creating an unstable unity. Dialectics, therefore, allows for temporary states of stability or equilibrium, but also for qualitative leaps or breaks in the equilibrium, in which the equilibrium breaks down and gives way to something new. A good example from the natural world is biological evolution. Until the 1860s, species were considered immutable, each separated, created separately by God. Yet this was based only on appearance. Closer study revealed that though species appear distinctly separate, they have evolved from each other over time. This cut against the idea that the world consisted of separate, unchanging pieces, or systems which moved in a stable, unchanging equilibrium of balance and harmony. It's easy to see how these ideas influenced Marx. But Marx took over and transformed the dialectical method and applied it in a consistently materialist way to human history. In one of the prefaces he wrote to Capital, his most famous work, he makes his clear his debt to Hegel. This is how he explains it. Quote, "The mystification which the dialectic suffers in Hegel's hands by no means prevents him from being the first to present its general forms of motion in a comprehensive and conscious manner. With him, it is standing on its head. It must be inverted in order to discover the rational kernel within the mystical shell. In its rational form, the dialectic is a scandal and an abomination to the bourgeoisie and its doctrinaire spokesman, because it includes in its positive understanding of what exists a simultaneous recognition of its negation, in its inevitable destruction, because it regards every historically developed form as being in a fluid state, in motion, and therefore grasps its transient aspects as well. And because it does not let itself be impressed by anything, being in its very essence critical, and revolutionary. End quote. Hegel himself ended up as a defender of the conservative Prussian state. But at the heart of his philosophy, nevertheless, was a radical concept. As Engels noted, the idea that all that exists deserves to perish. So the dialectic involves change, movement. But it isn't simply the gradual change, like erosion of a river bank over millions of years. Sometimes a catastrophic flood can do what slow erosion took eons to accomplish. The dialectical model says that things can be in temporary equilibrium, but they are never static and unchanging. Indeed, the equilibrium is always formed by the interaction of conflicting or contradictory elements, which break apart at a certain threshold. This is how the Russian Marxist Trotsky summed up the dialectic. Quote, Hegel's logic is the logic of evolution. Only one must not forget that the concept of evolution itself has been completely corrupted and emasculated by university professors and liberal writers to mean peaceful progress. Whoever has come to understand that evolution proceeds through the struggle of antagonistic forces, that a slow accumulation of changes at a certain moment explodes the old shell and brings about a catastrophe, revolution. Whoever has learned finally to apply the general laws of evolution to thinking itself, he is a dialectician, as distinguished from vulgar evolutionists. Dialectic training of the mind, as necessary to a revolutionary fighter, as finger exercises to a pianist, demands approaching all problems as processes and not as motionless categories. Whereas vulgar evolutionists, who limit themselves generally to recognizing evolution in only certain spheres, content themselves in all other common questions with the banalities of common sense. End section. End chapter 2.